flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Okay, business leaders, are you playing defense or are you on the offense? Are you just, excuse me, hey, I'm trying to talk business here. As I was saying, are you here just to play or are you playing to win? If you're in it to win, meet your next MVP, NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is your full business management system in one suite. With NetSuite, you're running your accounting, your financials, HR, e-commerce, and more, all from your online dashboard. One source of truth means every department's working from the same numbers with no data delays. And with AI embedded throughout, you're automating manual tasks, plus getting fast insights for your next move. Whether you're competing on your home turf or looking to conquer international markets, NetSuite helps you get the W. Over 40,000 businesses have already made the move to NetSuite, the number one cloud ERP.
Right now, get the CFO's Guide to AI and Machine Learning at netsuite.com/special. Get this free guide at netsuite.com/special.
Okay, guys.
What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Spiegel and Holmes.
I'm not Swerve in that corner.
Whoa.
Okay.
See, we're in full service, 670 The Score station.
Afternoons on The Score.
Let's take a look at the Chicago vaunted defense.
Charles Tillman, the University of Louisiana.
That was a punch by Tillman. Watch Tillman's right fist punch the football. Bang!
Ground runs into DeGene. Ball is out!
Unbelievable by Bond with the peanut punch.
This year, Pat Dolan, our video guy, got me every peanut punch that he forced a fumble with his entire career, and we watched that on a loop as coaches, and then we showed that to the players as well.
And the pass caught, not getting the first down and a fumble. And the Bears have it. Mike Green has the ball, and it was Randy Moss.
Charles Tillman again.
And that's caught on the slant, and the ball is fumbled by Harrison. It is ruled a catch and a fumble. Jones losing the ball, and then Manning Jr. picks it up. Another slant, another catch. And this is Jones with Tillman. It's the second time he's punched it out.
Five defensive backs in. Greasy hits Maurice. The ball, he dropped the ball. And it looks like Charles Tillman forced another fumble.
What's new? Tillman sees it, see ball, get ball, punch.
Wow.
And McNabb out of the shotgun, fires, and that will be caught by Jackson, and then loses the ball.
Charles Tillman probably the best in the league in the secondary as far as getting the ball out.
Charles Tillman's one of the best in the history of this sport in forcing fumbles.
Really like something that you just got to practice. Really, you got to just get used to doing it. And even then, I feel like there still is some fine art.
Jaden Reed gets the carry, and Reed fumbles the football.
It all originated with Chicago and Charles Tillman. Look at that right there. Just a great job by Jalen Johnson. He's just standing off to the side and boom, watch him. Unbelievable, the hand-to-eye coordination to get these balls freed up.
Such a great open for Charles Tillman, and we'll be talking to Charles in a matter of moments, I'm sure, here on the Spiegel and Holmes show. Good stuff, Tanny. And included in there is Jalen Johnson talking about how he tries to practice the technique. It's interesting, Lawrence, I'm looking at the list on Pro Football Reference. It's a little different than StatMuse, but the principle is the same. In the history of forced fumbles in the NFL, it's almost all defensive ends in your top 15 and Charles Tillman.
Yeah, that's a pretty good legacy to have.
Insane.
And we are lucky to have Charles Tillman join us here on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa app today. Also known by Royce from Inglewood, now joins us here on The Score. Hi, Charles.
What's going on, Jimmy? How goes it?
Things are good. We spent a lot of time in the meeting talking about you today because the Eagles have been talking about you I want to go back to the beginning because for new Bears fans or fans that weren't fans when you were playing, how did the punch come about?
I started doing it in college, believe it or not. One of my coaches, Rodney Southern from Copper's Cove, Texas, played a team, and he just kind of put it in my ear like and said, they run like a triple option, and he goes, man, if you would have just swatted at the ball, you could have had, you know, 10 forced fumbles. I think that game I was playing safety, and I had about 20 tackles, and I just ran the alley left or right, and I just my guy was the option player, so I just ran by the quarterback and just hit. I just kept hitting the tailback, and he just kept saying, he's like, man, go after the ball. So at that point, I just kind of made it my thing, and I just started punching off football.
And so did Lovie Smith accentuate it, or who were the defensive coaches in the NFL who said, oh, you should keep doing that, and can you teach some of our other players how to do that?
No, Lovie just preached takeaways. He didn't care how you got the ball out. He just would preach takeaways. I think my unique ability to punch it out was – I think that was kind of different than anything he had ever seen. So he was just like, I remember Lovie will come up to me in games. It's like, hey, I need one of the little punch out things now. Come on now, buddy. I need you to punch out that ball. Come on. Go get it for me.
Come on, big guy. Come on, big guy.
Come on, big guy. Come on, big guy. I need you that little punch out thing. I know you can do it. I'm counting on you, big guy. All right.
So did you have to, like, you know, measure the value of trying to get that done and please your coach and also make sure you wrap somebody up and tackle them so they don't get by you? Like, that's a tricky balance sometimes.
It is. The one thing I used to do in college is I would purposely take bad angles in college. And, man, I wish I could talk to some of my old teammates. I think Ricky Calais was one of them. He was a linebacker. And he would, you know, he missed a tackle and he's like, I don't worry, Peter gonna get him. And they would see me purposely take bad angles so I could sneak up behind the guy, secure the tackle, and I'd punch it out. Clearly, you can't do that in the NFL because everybody's fast. So I just figured out, well, I can't curse. I'm going to curse.
Don't curse.
I was going to say the SH word. But I just kind of just was like, well, damn. I can say damn, right?
Yeah, you're good.
Yeah. Okay, cool. I just said, well, damn, I got to figure out a way to punch it out and make the tackle at the same time. So my first game, we played San Francisco, old Candlestick, and it was a special teams play. I was a gunner. I was a dope gunner, too. So running down the field, and I don't know who the return man was, but, I just punched it out, first one. You know, he had that thing like a loaf of bread, and I just punched it out, and I was just like, oh, yeah, I could do this in this league. And I just start punching them.
When did you know that you could take some of those risks? Because I remember you guys saying that the idea was the first guy was supposed to secure the tackle, and then the second guy was supposed to come in and try to take the ball away. So when did you figure out, you know what, I could just eliminate the middleman and take the ball away?
I'd probably say like my second or third year, I felt pretty confident. Like my confidence was pretty high. Probably like my second or third year. I think we played Minnesota and I had a strip or a force fumble on Randy Moss. Like he had caught the ball and I just kept punching it out. I think that was probably the game. I probably was like, oh yeah, I could do this. I could do this.
Man. And so are you hip to where you are on the all-time forced fumbles list? According to Pro Football Reference, Charles, it's defensive ends everywhere. Robert Mathis, Julius Peppers, John Abraham, Dwight Freeney, Jason Taylor, Chris Dolman, and Charles Tillman. You're there. You're number six all time. Then it goes back to edge rushers. Bruce Smith, Derek Thomas, Ricky Jackson, Richard Dent.
I got more than Bruce Smith?
Yeah.
Holy shit. I'm not going to say it. Chicago. Holy Chicago.
Hit that beat button.
Yes! You got more than Bruce Smith. You got more than Richard Dent. He had 37.
Do y'all have like a beat button?
Yes, we do have a dump button.
Hit that beep button.
So dump it. I'm on the count of three. One, two, three. Holy shit.
All right.
Pretty cool.
This is pretty cool. And the people who are listening online, they were actually able to hear all of that because they don't have to have the same rules that us on the air have to have.
I gave y'all a warning.
No, we good.
You're good.
We good.
Okay. You're good.
You gave a treat to all of the people who watch on Twitch.
I'm glad the stat had an effect. That's a good thing. So, in fact, on this list, the only other defensive backs that I see in the top 30 are safeties. Like Brian Dawkins is on there. You know, Charles Woodson. Yes. Yeah. Yes. You nailed it. But you got to be the only full-time corner in the top 50 of this stat in the history of the NFL. It's crazy.
I'm sixth all time.
Yes, sir.
All time. Sixth all time. Which.
The history of the game since 1920.
Well, they didn't count the stat until 93. But still,
we just gonna say 1920. It sounds better.
All right, I like that. Since the beginning of time, he is sixth in punching the ball out. So what's it
That's
like?
What I'm telling my mama tonight when I talk to her, like, Mama, did you know since 1920? That's over 100 years. I am the number one, or number six person.
And you could say the number one defensive back because there aren't any other defensive backs that are even close. So you could just say that to moms.
That's kind of stretching the truth, but I like it.
I think it works out. So what's it like for you? We know what it's like for us. Like, we'll sit there on a Sunday or a Saturday or a Thursday. The ball gets popped out. Everyone's like, oh, look, there's the peanut punch. And we hear it and we all rejoice because we saw your career up close. We saw all of this grow into this wonderful thing that makes you what I think should be a Hall of Famer. When you see it in games and you hear announcers talking about it or hear the Eagles talking about how they got a cut up of all of your forced fumbles, what do you think?
Honestly, I think it's pretty cool, man. In all seriousness, I'm humbled by it. I kind of get a kick out of it. I smile and I just say, "Damn, okay, that's pretty cool. That's pretty good. Pretty cool to just say that." I'm not gonna say I changed the game, but I think I left my mark. My whole thing when I got to the league was, I want you to know who Peanut Tillman is. Whatever number I get, whatever number I am, I want you to know who I am. That was the mentality I had when I played. You're going to remember who I am. Whether we win or lose, you're going to know me. You're going to remember me. Y'all going to know me. And I haven't played in almost 10 years. And people, hey, you know me. You know what I did and my body of work. It just kind of speaks for itself. And I'm proud of that. I'm proud of that.
You should be, Charles. That's awesome. Because here we are this many years after you retired, and every weekend in the NFL, your name is getting mentioned, and you did change the game. I brought up this name. I don't know if you ever heard of the name Dick Fosbury, but he invented a way to do the high jump in track and field.
Like, oh yeah,
it's still called the Fosbury Flop.
Yeah,
and that's 1972.
Thinking outside the box.
Yes, yes. You are.
They used to do it with their feet first. And then he was like, nah, I'm going to do something different. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, outside the box.
So he was 1968. And by the next Olympics, 28 of the 40 were doing it his way.
That's crazy.
So that,
and now everybody does
now
it that way.
Everybody does it. I'll give you one more. You ever watch figure skating and they say, ooh, there's a double axel or there's a triple axel? I didn't. Yeah. Somebody does a jump. That was some dude named Axel. I didn't know that until today. Some dude named Axel invented that way to do a jump in figure skating, and they still call it an Axel. So Axel, Dick Fosbury, Charles Peanut Tillman. That's all I got on this list.
That's good. It's a good list.
Charles, how would you feel if the Eagles did say, would you mind coming down to New Orleans? And we know you know that area pretty well. Would you mind coming to New Orleans and working with a couple of our guys as we get ready for the Super Bowl?
Absolutely not. I will. That's why I hit them on Twitter. I just, yo, hit me up. Y'all know where to find me. I ain't hard to find.
Wait a minute.
So
you would consider going to work with the Eagles in the Super Bowl? If I'm the Chiefs, I would call you first.
Yeah. Equal opportunity, man. equal opportunity. I'm DEI over here. That's equal opportunity.
That's what I'm talking about. Get you out there and get you teaching this stuff to people.
Everybody can benefit.
When young players ask you about this, what questions do they ask the most?
How do you see it? Like, how do you know which way to punch? Like, do I do it this way or do I do it that way? And I answer the same way every time. I was like, well, I can't tell you. It just depends on how the ball carrier or what position a ball carrier has the ball. Like, there's no, I mean, it's a great question. I can't give you a definite answer because it changes. Because when we walk, we don't walk with our arms by our sides, right?
Mm-hmm.
When we walk or we run with the ball, our arms are constantly moving. So I can't tell you if the ball is going to be up or if it's going to be back or if it's going to be right near a side or if he's got two hands covering it. There's a difference in the technique and how you punch and the pressure and or the force of pressure you use or the power. Like it all just changes. It changes all the time.
So Nick Sirianni apparently tells his guys that if anyone is getting up off of the ground, like Austin Eckler was, the Washington running back, that's when you definitely got a punch. Because somebody who's getting up off the ground doesn't have their coordination in the right place, and they might be using an arm to get off the ground. Like, that's a time when they're vulnerable. Does that make sense to you?
It does make sense. Yeah, absolutely. That makes sense. I could see that happening, yeah.
All right, one more thing about the Eagles. Zach Bond the other day was the first player with 10 or more tackles, a forced fumble, and a fumble recovery in the conference championship or Super Bowl since Charles Peanut Tillman in 2006. So
damn.
So that man, that's NFC title game, right?
Yes.
So NFC title game in 06, Charles. Zach Bond's the first guy to do what you did in terms of those numbers since
Wait,
then.
What were my stats in?
This is a segment where we tell Charles his stats and accomplishments.
I don't even know all these things.
Yeah, that hadn't happened since you.
10 or more tackles, forced fumble, and a fumble recovery in a conference championship or Super Bowl game. Charles, you.
Oh, man. I was balling.
Did you get Reggie Bush in that game? Off. Which guy did you get for the forced fumble? Do you remember?
I don't know. Reggie Bush is a victim, but I don't know if I got him in that game. I might have got Reggie when he was in Detroit.
Who was your favorite person that you got?
Ooh, Pettigrew from Detroit.
Why?
We played them in 2012, and it was on our sideline, maybe the third quarter, and Pettigrew ran. It was on our sideline. It was like a little dunk pass, and I ended up, it was a check, I think it was like a check down or something, and I ended up running up to him, and I punched the ball out, and he kind of ran me over, but I was able to punch it out, right? And he got up, and he was all mad, and I was like, damn, I got it out, okay. But the ball went out of bounds, so the very next play, literally the very next play, it's the same damn play. They ran a route, and it was all covered, and Stafford threw the check down. And I run up, and Pettigrew gave me the dopest stiff arm. And I'm like, my face is going back, but I'm looking at the ball still. And I was still able to hit it with the left. Not my right, with my left. And I still punched it out. And I got up, and I'm Lawrence, you know, I'm a clown. I am never serious. I'm laughing. And he just was like, damn. Come on. And I just got up and I just started laughing. I thought it was like the way you're giggling and I'm rejoicing. I literally did that. I just was like, this SHIT is so funny. It's, I don't know, man. It was fun to frustrate people because they would get so mad and I just laugh. I thought it was hilarious.
That's great. Was there anyone that you didn't get that you wish you would have?
Brandon Jacobs. He's a big guy.
Wow.
I wish I could have got like a Brandon Jacobs.
He's a tall man who ran high.
Yeah. He's like 260. Yeah. He was a guy I wish I could have got.
You ever get Calvin? You ever get Calvin Johnson? You ever punch it out of his hands? We remember great.
I mean, ripped it out of his hands.
Oh, hell yeah. Ripped it out of Calvin's hands. And
never out of, never a forced fumble. I had one. It was similar to the one I got, Hall of Fame, Indy. Why am I drawing a blank?
Marvin Harrison.
Oh, no, I'm thinking Michael Irvin. Marvin Harrison, when I got that one, I did one similar to Calvin, but they said it didn't count as they said he didn't like have possession of the ball. But no, I never got one on Calvin.
Charles, at this point, I think a lot of people understand, like, I have a better appreciation for your career because there's the forced fumbles. We hear about that every week. Spiegs and I were talking before you came on. It's like there's also a whole bunch of interceptions and a whole bunch of touchdowns that are associated with your career in the NFL. Was it better for you when you punched the ball away or when you intercepted a pass?
I think probably the forced fumble because that was – people at my position weren't doing that, you know. And I think it would have been – it's funny we talk about this. I've been punching out football since day one, literally like my very first game. I was punching them out. And no one really picked up on it toward like the end of my career. Now, Chicago media, Chicago fans, y'all knew about it. But social media, you know, being what it is now, it wasn't like that back then. I sound so old saying that.
Yes, you do. And that's okay. That's okay.
But it just wasn't a thing. Now, the crazy part is, like, teams knew it. And the first time I felt pretty good, I got confidence, even more confidence, was we played Seattle in maybe a preseason game. And Dan Quinn, he came up to me, one of the assistant DB coaches came up to me, and he goes, look, hey, man, I just want you to know we watch your film all the time. I show your guys, and this is when I'm still playing, right? And he goes, I just show my guys your stuff all the time. Like, here, hey, coach. And then Dan Quinn comes up, and he's like, yo, Peanut, I don't know how you do it, but I love watching you play. I love how you take the ball away. And then Pete Carroll came up and was like, I'll make my coaches watch your stuff. And I was like, really? Like, wow, okay, man, thank you. I really do appreciate that. Like, I just thought that was very, it was just very kind of him to come over here and just go out of his way after a preseason game to come tell me that. I thought that was real cool. I've always been a fan of Coach Quinn since that day. He won a fan in me. And then the more teams we would play, I would hear receivers talk about it. I would hear, you know, offensive coaches talk about it. I would hear then it started to circulate around the league. So, yeah, man, it's a sign of respect, and I'm very appreciative of the league giving me that respect. You know, some days I'll look up and I'll get a retweet or I'll see something on the NFL's their main Instagram page, and I'm getting like collabs or shout outs. So I get tons of shout out from my former teammate, Greg Olsen. Tom Brady gave me one the other day. Like, it's, again, I enjoy it. It's cool. It's fun. Best thing about it, though, I can look at my kids and say, hey, I was him. I know I'll be giving y'all sporting advice and workout advice, and y'all be like, oh, God, here's Dad talking. He don't know what he's talking about. And then we'll be watching a game, and then whoever the broadcaster is, they'll say, Peanut Tillman with the punch. Or, so-and-so with the peanut punch. And I just kind of look over at him like, hey, I told y'all.
I was him.
Saying it's just to say it. I was him. Nah, F that. I'm still him. I'm still him.
Charles, the texter made a really good point that I didn't think of, and I'm upset at myself that I didn't. I mean, you're connected with the Chiefs. Nagy brought you in to talk with his players and Dave Tobe. You was blocking kicks for Dave Tobe. They should call you.
I was blocking kicks for Dave Tobe, yeah. How about Dave Tobe, man? Can we just give that dude a shout-out real quick?
Yep.
Just shout out to the greatest special teams coach of all time.
I'm with that it. Man, I think he should be a head coaching candidate.
He does it time and time again with whoever. Time and time again. Shout out to Dave Tobe, man. Love that dude. He a good dude.
Hey, Charles, what would it mean what would it mean to make the Hall of Fame? Because you ought to be in the conversation for everything that we're talking about. What would it, what would it mean if that happened for you?
Everything. You know, it's possible. You know, I went to a small school. I only won like 6 or 7 games my entire college career. And it really just goes to show that it's not how you start, but it's how you finish. And effort is everything. Effort is everything. And yeah, just the, I'd just be extremely grateful and, you know, mission accomplished with, you know, all the hard work that I put in. And yeah, man, I've told Lawrence this. I don't get starstruck when I see other players. I get starstruck when I see Hall of Famers. Like, it's the only time I get like a little giddy little kid and I get nervous and I'm just like, hey, that's Bruce Smith. Hey, that's LT. Hey, that's Barry Sanders. That's Rob Woodson. That's like, and I get nervous. I'm just like, that's John Randall. But then we hang out at Super Bowl at these, you know, legend events, and they're like, hey, what's up, Peanut? How you doing, man? I'm like, dang, me and John Randall just, we kicking it right now. Last year, I watched the Super Bowl with John Elway, and I thought it was the dopest thing one of the dopest things I'd ever done. Like, we literally are in the suite, and I'm sitting next to John Elway. And I was in the Man of the Year suite with, like, all of the Hall of Famers, all the new Hall of Famers, the new class. Like, I'm just like, how lucky am I? To answer the question fully, man, it'd be a blessing. It'd really be a blessing. I would really be blessed if that were to happen. You know, God willing, though, we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Charles, by the way, if one of your kids ever needs to know that you're still him, you like when a kid has like a loaf of bread and they're walking from the garage to the kitchen. Just knock that bread. Just punch that right out.
He does that.
Knock the bread out.
He does stuff like this.
And we should. He's Charles Tilney. He should be punching everything out of your kid's hands. A binder, a book bag. Just punch it out.
He's also like the best prankster in the history of pranks. So.
Have you done that to your kids?
Yeah. I prank my kids all the time.
Good.
All right. So this is the difficult part. Yeah. Watch this. Yeah, okay. Charles, thanks for being on the show.
No worries.
Oh,
are y'all ready for me to go right now?
See, there it is.
He never wants to leave.
There it is.
I remember that.
No, not.
You can't take no calls or nothing?
No, we haven't lined up any calls.
You want to hang on?
Is anyone in the queue?
Well, if you want to hang on for a minute, we'll take a break and we'll come back and take some calls. If you want to hang out.
Is it a media minute or is it like a black person minute?
It's a black person minute because a black person drives this show.
Okay. Be that kind of time. Okay.
Yeah.
And then I'll probably have to go then.
All right.
If we own black people time.
We are, but.
I'm honored.
But I'm telling you.
Next time.
We can make this like a regular thing if you want, Charles.
I
know some people.
You know some people? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, let me think about
You think about whether or not you have time. Lance is already on with us once a week.
Okay.
All right. All right. Well, I'll text you and we'll figure it out.
Thank you, Charles.
All right. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me, guys.
Great fun.
See you later, Charles. Thank you.
That's amazing. Yeah, I got like 9 other things I want to talk to Charles about.
There's a lot to talk to
him. You hook that up for next time.
And I mean, he is the king of pranks. He has pranked coaches. Some of those stories are amazing in their own right. Some of them you can't say on the air.
Mm. All right, we're crazy late for the break, but that was so, so worth it.
Totally worth it. Back after this on The Score.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Joe Buck, do you know that Spiegs is doing ads for a hair treatment that he doesn't need?
The idea of you doing any sort of hair restoration thing makes me gag. Now, good for you. Yeah. It's all in the name of commerce, and I tip my cap. It's hiding my thin hair.
I haven't seen you on
Afternoons on the Score.
Best thing about it, though, I can look at my kids and say, hey, I was him. I know I'll be giving y'all sporting advice and workout advice, and y'all be like, oh God, here's dad talking. He don't know what he's talking about. And then we'll be watching a game, and then whoever the broadcaster is, they'll say, Peanut Tillman with the punch, or so-and-so with the peanut punch. And I just kind of look over at him like, hey, I told y'all.
I was him.
Saying, it's just to say it. I was him.
That was Charles Tillman with us a little while ago. We're so happy that everyone seemed to enjoy that. Like, that's always fun when we can just kind of kick back and relax a little bit.
Dude.
And hang out with someone that people, like, universally adore.
And you have a relationship, man. That's the kind of stuff. It's like, you can hear it. Every once in a while, we're fortunate enough in this business to actually have a relationship with somebody. And you could hear that you and Charles are friends.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
He's actually, I would consider Charles one of my good friends now.
I mean,
same thing with Lance and with Alex. Like, those guys are my good friends. And Olin's become like my life coach. So
that's a pretty good one to have.
Yes, right, it's an excellent one to have.
Yeah, he mentioned some weight loss theories in an offhand comment during an interview a year ago. And I should probably chase those down.
He's a little more
attention. Maybe.
But I mean, he does that, and he did that for himself.
Right, of course.
Right after he was done.
He looks great.
I'm still trying to get up the courage to go to the gym. Like, not to like lift, because, you know, they brawl and stuff. Like, they do jujitsu and stuff.
Oh, man, that'd be tremendous.
Trying to get up the courage to go. And I know that those guys would not tear me apart. Like, they understand that I'm very small. You know, compared to the offensive linemen that are in there working with Olin.
They would probably only, you know, throw you against the wall 6 to 9 times.
It wouldn't be the first time that something like that has happened, but I will fight you.
Texter says, man, you guys Shawshanked me with the Charles Tillman interview. Got me late for daycare pickup despite being in the parking lot.
Oh, I don't want your kids to not get picked up.
Kids are going to have to eat later.
Speaking of kids, by the way, Charles's daughter, Talia,
yeah,
is at Roosevelt, and she plays basketball there, and she's doing really well.
That's really cool. You know, we got other stuff we got to talk to Charles about. I was going to ask him, but like, there was so much there just about the punch was wonderful, and about the NFL relevance and the Hall of Fame dreams and the Dick Fosbury comp and like all of that. But I want to ask him about Jalen Johnson. Like, what I mean, have you ever, I don't know that Charles has talked about that. I'd love to know what he thinks of Jalen's technique and Jalen's style.
I think that we could probably figure something out to get Charles on more often.
We should do that.
Right?
I also would like to ask him about Guwagi. Like, if we're going to further the cause.
Here we go.
We're going to further the cause.
An acronym guy.
Come on, Tanny. You know that's coming. Like, we're gonna.
You got it, Coach Cohen.
If we're going to further the cause of Charles for the Hall of Fame, maybe he could be on team hashtag Guwagi.
The next time, I'll ask him to clean it up. But the next time, we should ask him about scaring Bob Babbage.
Okay. All right, good. But like, but my thing about Gwagi, there was like, I want to ask who he thinks are the best ones ever at it and literally just talk about the skill.
I mean, he dealt with two of the guys that are clearly on that list.
They're top. They're two of the top three. You ask me the top three at Go Up and Get It, which is the collection of skills it takes to be a Go Up and Get It skill at Gwagi, Randy Moss and Calvin Johnson, and I'd say Larry Fitzgerald.
You guys heard of Gwagi, Go Up and Get It, guys?
So those somebody asked me the other day at the Cubs convention when I was hanging around.
Definitely on that list.
Right.
Too.
So I was hanging around at the Cubs convention. And people were like, "Oh, Speaks, can I talk to you?" I sat down and they said, "Who are the best Gwagi guys ever?" So that was my top three off the cuff: was Randy Moss, Calvin Johnson, Larry Fitzgerald. I want to know what Charles thinks.
Okay. Right? What's the crazy Larry Fitzgerald stat about him in drops?
He's
got more tackles than drop balls.
That's what it is. He's got more tackles as an offensive player than drop passes. That's stupid. That's just stupid.
You're right over there?
No.
Yeah, that's a thing.
Shane dropped the Larry Fitzgerald stat.
There is a literal cough button if you'd like to use it.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
That's what it's for?
Oh, that was Lawrence?
No, it was him.
I lost my feed in here. I can't see which one of you it was.
No, it was him.
No, it was me.
But we're a team.
And the cough button. How about Charles with a curse for the streaming kids?
Two of them.
What? I didn't hear this.
He spelled out the other one. We had to dump that.
You can't spell it?
No.
Man.
No, we can't do that. But I appreciate that he gave us the warning on the first one, and that the people who are listening on Twitch or on YouTube, they got a treat.
Yeah. Look, we're going to talk Cubs and the closer and a few other things. Bruce Levine with a nugget as well about Alex Bregman. So we're going to do all that at the top of the hour. But Charles is not the only one who likes to curse. He's not the only one. Somebody else is threatening to, and I need your advice on this front. Can you help me with that?
Yeah, I got some advice for you.
I know exactly what it is. I know what it usually is.
We'll do that next here on The Score.
Spiegel at Holmes.
Good vibes, baby.
Afternoons on The Score.
I can't curse, can I? Well, I'm going to curse.
Don't curse.
I did not. I was going to say the SH word. Y'all have like a beep button?
Yes, we do have a dump button.
Hit that beep button.
So dump it. I'm on the count of three. One, two, three. Holy shit.
Holy shirts and pants. Holy Chicago, right?
He gave us a holy Chicago. I hope we didn't laugh over it. I might have. It's usually me. I
feel like that's an obvious shirt.
Holy Chicago.
Orange and blue.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
With a like peanut punch symbol in there or something.
Yeah, like there. If we do a marketing campaign for Peanut to the Hall of Fame, holy Chicago, get this man into the Hall of Fame. I don't know. Like there, it seems to be a natural that he would do it. And what I was picturing was friend of the show, Dan Pompey, who often is the one advocating for certain Hall of Famers in the room, because that's how the NFL does it, is like they'll have an open conversation with all the voters in there and just have the conversation. Somebody will make the case. You know, I was picturing Dan Pompey making the case and like what Dick Fosbury is to the high jump, Charles Tillman is to the forced fumble. Like that is a component that ought to be thought about and discussed.
I agree wholeheartedly. Now, what's this parenting issue that you are seeking the counsel of someone who doesn't have children for?
Yeah,
see Matt Spiegel's son, Ruben, over there.
Anita Ruling, the Flowing Rubs. I need all three of you to embody Anita Ruling right here. And the listeners, feel free to hop in as well. So the Rubster, he does not curse, and he has not cursed. And he,
as far as you know,
as in our presence, in me and Steen's presence, he hasn't done it. And literally, this was the question the other day. Dad, I'm 13 now. Can I do some mild cursing?
Mm.
And I'm like, well, what is, can you define the mild cursing, sir? And he said, you know, like ASS and DAMN.
Keep them off your ASS.
He also said KARS for KIDS. That's not a curse. But, you know, so just some mild cursing. He said HE double hockey sticks. Can I do that one? So God bless him for being 13. He just wants to get in on some mild cursing. So I've been thinking about it, and I think I'm a no. I think the fact that the kid has gotten far.
Jesus Christ, dude.
He's
what a dork.
He's gotten this far.
He's gotten this far. He loves words. He loves learning words.
Oh, yeah. Texter's right. What about when he celebrated you?
Oh, yeah. That's a good point. He's asked Steen, can I curse as I was going up to get the award at the Pitchnick Club? He's like, that's my effing father's. That's right. He did ask and get clearance there. So
it's
done
over.
That.
It's over.
But now he's... But in terms of our presence?
Yeah, there's a precedent there already set, right? So he doesn't really need...
He doesn't need permission.
Yeah, by rule, I can curse. There's a precedent set.
Well,
yeah.
But what he does on the playground, it's his own business. But around the house, I'm going to stick with no on
Shane,
this.
Get Pereira back on the line.
Yeah, here's the thing, Speaks. You have what we know to be a very respectful son with a smart kid with an already good vocabulary. You know he's not just going to replace words that he already uses with a curse word. Just let him use hell or damn or whatever for emphasis.
I disagree.
Emphasis.
My job is to train him to be a good quality adult out there in the world. And as a texter said, you know, that mild cursing, that is a gateway to sailor mouth. I do not want to allow that to happen.
Your kid's fine.
I'm all about people's
gateway to sailor mouth.
I'm all about people's freedoms. I believe in them wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
This is one. I am 49 years old and I have still not cussed in front of my parents.
See, Lawrence, that's what I'm talking about. The respect level in front of the parents.
And it's weird because sometimes, you know, they listen or watch the show and occasionally, you know, but never in their presence. My dad has never cussed.
Never once.
Not in front of us.
A man who respects the language.
My mother, on the other hand.
Shane, don't you think, especially considering what we do and what we value, learn to use language for emphasis.
Yeah, that's fine. Emphasis. It's not like you're going to let the kid say damn and then tomorrow he's going to be taking a trip down the Eisenhower and the heroin highway going to Naperville to try to get some heroin from a gas station.
You mean the Topgolf?
Yeah, like he's not going to be making his way down corridor. The heroin highway. Like he's fine. He's a good, smart kid.
I have found that this is one of those cultural things that, quite honestly, when we moved to Homewood and I met some of my classmates at HF and I saw the way that they talked to their parents, I was shocked. I was like, wow, you did not get knocked out. That is interesting because had it been me, I would have been knocked out.
Uh-huh.
Or like, and I'm not trying to judge Jason Bernstein. He is a free man.
Full on sailor mouth?
He is a free man. He was in here a couple weeks ago and Dan said something crazy and Jason like double birding and all that stuff.
Believe me, I got backup with my fiery Latina. She does not stand for anything.
Disrespect?
But, yeah, disrespect.
Well, as you know, I am very, very partial to Latin. So I love
those. Aren't we all?
I think so.
I will say that I think Jason Bernstein takes it a little bit too far.
But see,
I think there's a little bit too much disrespect for
Dan. How do you think he got there?
That's the point.
Bernstein was giving that kid coffee when he was like 7 years old.
Yeah, but again, Speaks, neither has he made the trip down the heroin highway to Naperville. So he's fine. He turned out to be a good kid. He's at a good school.
He's a good kid. I like him a lot. He's really smart. And some of the stuff that I have been there when Dan has deserved to be cussed at by his son.
Oh, a texter with an incredible memory that Ruben was allowed to curse when he was in the hospital after appendix surgery. Well, then you're out of line, sir. No, that's how far back our listeners go in our lives.
You're out of line.
That's amazing.
He doesn't have to ask for any more permission. It's a done deal.
No, I greenlit it. I greenlit it after he had his appendix out, man.
And it was greenlit for him to say the word that you really don't want people to say.
I know.
At your award.
Well,
I think he's on his own now.
Palpably unfair hat.
Hey, I don't want to be palpably unfair. But
they can award the touchdown to Ruben.
I think it's important to teach restraint and to...
Really? Really, sir? Really?
Oh, that was the other thing, Lawrence. I taught him one of the oldest bits of Spiegel and Holmes back from when you and I worked together at the very beginning. For some reason, this came up. And I taught him this last night, like... We talked about something, and I said, at the end of our talking, I said, okay, good day. And he said, what do you mean? I said, good day, sir! It's one of the first things you and I ever laughed at.
I'd get a kick out of it.
I do. I said, good day. And he said, what do you mean? I said, good day, sir. Good day. This conversation is over. Good day, sir.
And he laughed. He laughed. So he gets it.
Yeah. Well,
All right, thank you. So you wouldn't recommend the belt. Usually that's where we end up.
No, you recommend the belt. Not for Ruben. He's a good kid. Not this time.
Okay.
I think you've already put him on the path, man. I think it's too late.
Oh, no.
I think you put him on the path.
Well, as long as he doesn't do it in front of the parents,
everything should work out fine. Yeah. My mom shows up here and Ruben says something sideways.
What? Caning will be coming back.
There's going to be some furniture moving around this place, I can tell you that much. When we come back, let's get into the baseball, shall we?
Yes, sir.
Let's talk about Ryan Pressly. You're going to hear from your new closer next on The Score.